Hey, Ryan, since you're not going to the game, where are you planning on watching the Wildcats?
I'll be stuck at the office, but I wish I could be lounging at home in front of my TV.
Yeah, me too. I've been thinking about getting like a big comfy recliner from Sam Levitt's Furniture.
Ooh, stylish.
Sam Levitt's Furniture has specials on a wide selection of recliners, so you can watch the game in style. You can check out a bunch of options at their Tucson locations. I'm thinking of getting one with swivel action.
Ooh.
But I kind of like the one I saw with cup holders.
Well, while Justin makes up his mind about which recliner he likes best, let's talk some sports.
From the Arizona Daily Star and Tucson.com, this is the Wildcast.
Hello, welcome to the Wildcast. We're live here in Portland. I'm Zach Rosenblatt, joined here by Michael Lev, fresh from the airport. It's cold and rainy, and we're loving it out here.
This is a very interesting hotel you got here, Zach. I feel like it's a very millennial type of hotel.
Very hipster.
I'm surprised that there's a desk in here, honestly. It is very hipster.
Yeah, did you see the bar downstairs and the seating? And yeah.
Very fancy. How much does the star paying for this place?
Too much. I'm just kidding, Ryan. No. But yeah, we're here for tomorrow's Oregon 4 p.m. kickoff locally, which is great for us by comparison to what we're used to. We would have preferred the 12:30 or whatever that one was. I was kind of confused that Arizona got the fourth pick out of the pecking order, if that was an accurate pecking order. Like, that was weird to me.
I agree. I was a little puzzled that
we thought maybe they got
Fox,
the second one.
For example, you know, didn't want... Yeah. Khalil Tate, but I get the appeal of having Cal Stanford, too. I mean, Bryce Love is obviously an attraction.
Then you have USC, UCLA.
You have a ranked Stanford team. Yeah, I always thought USC, UCLA would be the top pick in that pecking order, no matter what, because it's USC, UCLA. Yeah. People across the country love that game. It's like, you know, maybe the 1-2 picks in the draft next year. Speaking of next year, what do you want to talk about, Zach?
Segue. Before we get into a little preview, talk a little bit of the Willie Taggart v. Rich Rod. Like very similar to Batman vs. Superman, except this one is more exciting than that trash movie. But we'll get into that in a second. But first, so Arizona's schedule for next year came out already, which is much earlier than usual, right?
It is unusual. Yeah, usually some conferences do release their next year's schedule during the season. The Pac-12 has not in recent years, but they did this year. It came out yesterday, so you can kind of see how it all lays out.
I'll go through it right now. I'll just say it.
Go ahead and say it.
All right, so... Arizona open their bye week isn't until the third to last week, so keep that in mind. But so they go versus BYU at Houston, versus Southern Utah at Oregon State, versus USC, versus Cal at Utah on a Friday, at UCLA versus Oregon, versus Colorado on a Friday. So two Friday games, which is pretty unique. Although I guess they had two this year too, huh?
They did. They were back to back this year though, so it was a little easier to space it out.
Well, then they have a bye after that Friday, so it's like they get an extra day off actually. Then at Washington State and at home for the Territorial Cup to end the season. We both were just talking about this. Like, I don't know if you could have them. First of all, they don't have Washington and Stanford again, which is still huge because they'll still be good. And between the teams they're playing at home, the road trips against teams that are kind of either rebuilding or not great right now, like, it's a pretty favorable schedule.
We were talking about this before we started the podcast. And saying that this might be a 9-3 type of schedule for Arizona. I mean, is that a crazy sentence to state here for the record? Obviously, a lot of things can change. You know, they're one Khalil Tate injury away from being back to square one, right?
Again.
But when you look at it, like, they conceivably could be...
They should be 4-0.
4-0 heading into that USC game,
at
right?
At home, which potential game day game, honestly.
Like, so does USC still have Sam Darnold?
Yeah.
Or do they not? That's a huge factor.
Then they have Cal after that, very beatable. Utah.
They always play Utah well, even though that's a road Friday game. That'll be difficult.
I mean, so think of it like this. I mean, it's still early again, but how many of these games is Arizona even going to be the underdog in?
Yeah, if they continue to play the way they have been, finish this season strong.
Exactly. It's a lot of ifs.
And start next season strong. I mean, you know, a lot of people were on Twitter were sort of brushing off BYU and Houston to open the season. And I said, look, BYU is definitely down this year, but they are usually a tough program. That will not be a walkover type of game. BYU beat Arizona a couple years ago.
Still another season of Ed Oliver, right? Houston is the only sophomore.
Houston still has Ed Oliver next year.
So we get a week of those stories again.
We will. I mean, he was a one-man wrecking crew.
And it will be a vastly looking different Arizona offensive line. So
That's right. Yeah. So there's no guarantee they'll be 4-0. But I think
it's favorable.
When you look at the schedule, it is pretty favorable as far as who's at home, who's on the road. Like you mentioned, the fact that there's no Washington and no Stanford again this year.
Like I mentioned to you earlier, the late bye week isn't ideal, but it's really only not ideal if you start having health issues like USC has this year, like Oregon has this year, like Arizona did in 2015 when they had no bye. So if they can make it to that bye week healthy in the key spots, you think they're in pretty good shape to compete for the South title at least.
There's no possible way to predict that, right? I mean, we don't know what the injury situation is going to be. We never thought they would have 2 years in a row of horrible injuries, which they did this year, relatively healthy, knock wood.
I mean, look at this injury report this week. I don't think I've seen one like that since I've covered Arizona.
Yeah, it was very strange. Only Curtis Brown and J.B. Brown listed as
out. Only
Browns
are injured
the only guys on the report at all, they really are not huge factors. Yeah. Let's face it. They played a little bit, and they were rotational
guys. It still was
guys.
Weird to me that Scotty Young wasn't on the report again. It seems like, I don't know if they're hiding something from
us. I stubbornly kept him in my projected starting lineup. So we'll see if that comes to fruition. He obviously didn't play at all last week, but how crazy is it that we're having this conversation about how they could maybe 9-3 or something next
year? With a Heisman favorite, maybe.
With a strong Heisman contender, maybe the favorite.
Because, I mean, if, again, this is all, we're being weird and looking ahead to next year while we're in the thick of this year, but, Baker Mayfield will be gone. Bryce Love, I think, is he a junior?
If he is a junior and he doesn't leave, that would be insane. Yeah. I'm surprised Royce Freeman is still here, by the way. I know he had some injuries.
Yeah, I think that's why.
Along the way, and maybe that's the reason he's the second leading rusher in Pac-12
history. I
don't
think the last time Arizona played Oregon, we thought they would ever see Royce Freeman again, you know?
Right.
At that point, he was in, the thick of his prime, in a way. But,
right.
But, I mean, we'll talk about that in a little bit. But, okay, moving away from next year, back on to this year. Well, back on to earlier this year, actually. Because the biggest topic, I was talking to Zach Clark about this. I've never kind of seen the mood, the discussion around this game quite like it's been with the Oregon and Arizona fans. Clearly people care about recruiting because Arizona fans are still all up in arms about the way Willie Taggart went about it. Then I'm seeing Oregon fans on the flip side being stop being crybabies. And then I'm on my feet. I had these people attacking Eugene, and then people from Eugene attacking Tucson. And you're at, people are asking Willie Taggart about it, and he's like, oh, there's no ill will. I think we're good. And then you kind of get a different message from even – Rich even didn't even really hide it. He's like, I don't hold any ill will, but it is frustrating. And Rod Smith clearly was – did not want to talk about it. And I'm going to play a Shum Brown clip right now, actually.
This is a player. Just an Arizona player.
It wasn't even this last recruiting class, and it's kind of just indicative of, the different, mindsets going into this game. All right, so you heard that. That's Shum Brown. He doesn't have any stake in this recruiting thing. He's a kid from New Orleans, from Louisiana. He wasn't going to get recruited by Oregon. Pretty lightly recruited, one of Arizona's most talented guys. But that's just so interesting to me. I don't think I've ever heard players talk about recruiting the way that we talk about it. Nathan Eldridge, I think, mentioned, I was supposed to, I was looking forward to Cody Shear coming here, and he left the day of signing day. And Tony Field said, I was planning on living with Braxton Burmeister, and he didn't tell me that he was going to bail on us for Oregon. Have you covered USC, which is the king of weirdness, and they steal recruits all the time, but have you ever seen something like this? It's such a unique storyline.
It is a unique situation. Obviously, the players are aware of it. I was getting a little bit of pushback on Twitter from people saying schools poach recruits from other schools all the time.
Yeah.
Arizona just got a guy who was committed to Iowa State, right? I think they're going after somebody who is committed currently to Colorado State, okay? Yes. My point was, there's a preponderance of guys. There's, five?
Four that were, officially, and then there was Thomas Graham, who I've heard from people that I trust that he has a silent commit. So
four players, and maybe as many as five, who were at one time committed or silently committed to Arizona, end up at Oregon. Okay, that just cannot be a coincidence,
and then
right?
The timing of it, I think, is the frustration from the fans' perspective, too. Because Cody Shear and Burmeister in particular, Burmeister was literally going to enroll. I talked to his mom, on a Friday. I think we talked about this on Monday. I talked to his mom on a Friday, and by Sunday he was reconsidering his options, and Cody Shear didn't have an Oregon offer as of signing day. And then 6 a.m. that morning, like, Mario Cristobal calls him and flips him, like, and Austin Faiolu, Joe Salavea gets hired the same day he decommits from Arizona, and he winds up at Oregon 10 days later. Like, he probably wound up there earlier than that. Like, it, of course, it's not unique that a highly regarded Pac-12 school is swooping a guy that wanted to go to Arizona. They're going to get the recruits. That's just the reality. But the number of it in the same class.
Do you think Oregon is just still cooler?
Yeah,
than Arizona.
Yeah. Well, even with Khalil. Even Rich was like, they have the best facilities of any sport. Like, that's, they have all the jerseys, they have all the Nike stuff, Uncle Phil, as they call him over there. It's just great. And I mean, to add insult to injury, almost to this whole topic, this morning I saw Hakee Woods, Pima College defensive back, who was committed to Arizona for less than 2 weeks, got an offer the day after from Oregon. He's in Eugene this weekend for this game. He's visiting Oregon. He's not visiting Arizona. So.
None of us were that
surprised. It's almost like they did that on purpose.
None of us were surprised when we found out, you know, shortly after Hakee decommitted
that Oregon had
offered him.
He's had more offers since then, but it was just like, of course.
Of course, right. So that adds sort of a subtext to this game. You know, Rich Rod and Willie Taggart both are kind of saying it's not personal.
A little, yeah.
You know, it's really about the team. We're only worried about the guys we have.
You hear Shum being like, coach is mad. They're mad about it. So
right.
They're mentioning it.
Yeah, I think they're talking about it behind
the
scenes.
Which is crazy. Yeah.
And not to us.
And the players probably aren't supposed to tell us that.
Right, of course. Of course. I think that Rich Rod, I don't even know if he'd say it afterward, but I just know that he would feel a certain extra sense of satisfaction if he were able to win this game with his guys versus the guys who, you know, the would-be Wildcats.
And as I mentioned to somebody, the craziest part, if you consider they win this game, it would mean they won two straight at Austin Stadium.
Like, that's, that is weird.
That'd be crazy. I mean, just because of the scheduling, but, like, I don't know if Arizona's ever done, I mean, at least not in the Oregon years when they've been good.
Well, maybe we'll have to research that after the game. We'll see. It should be noted that they did play Oregon subsequently.
Yes, in the Pac-12
championship.
And that did not go well.
It was one of the worst performances of the Rich Rod era.
Yeah, Rich Eamon was like, I think he might have said it to you. He was even like, somebody reminded me the other day of the last time we played them was actually this one.
So the touchdowns in that game, there was a touchdown pass by Jesse Scroggins.
I was gonna say it got so like
and a rush and, by Gerard Randall.
Oh man, I didn't cover the game, but I watched it from Tucson and it was like over like right away too. Just depressing game. I mean, The fact that they got there was crazy. But has there been a close Pac-12 championship game yet? Haven't they all been blowouts?
I don't recall one being dramatic or memorable
like a Pac-12
in
game.
Any way. Do you want to segue into the game this week? Because I was just, when we're talking about that, it reminded me of how I view this Arizona team now with Khalil Tate. I don't feel like they're going to get blown out by anybody. I feel like they have a comeback capability or an ability to just trade blows with somebody. So, you know, I think this is going to be a really difficult game. The timing is bad because it seems like Justin Herbert's going to play and he changes everything for Oregon offensively.
Even if he doesn't play a great game, you think like energy and motivational wise, they're going to come out.
Right. Plus just the threat of him passing the ball, where maybe that doesn't exist with Braxton Burmeister because he's just not ready to, you know, play at this level yet. But all that being said, the weather, the crowd noise, I feel like, and
road
maybe
games
I'm
are
wrong,
hard anyway. Yeah.
Road games are hard. I feel like Khalil keeps you in the game. You know, he's such a dynamic threat. They're also such a patient team. You know, I don't know when that changed exactly. You know, over the, since the kind of the heyday of Anu, they've become so much more run oriented. And I like that. You know, I don't feel like they're going to panic.
It's old school Rich Rod offense.
It is.
The only run, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, in that USC game, it's not like they just started chucking the ball all over the field
Didn't Khalil run it 26 times that game?
He did.
Yeah.
He did. So,
and he said they'll run him if it means that's the way to win. So.
Like I said, I think I said on Monday's podcast, you got to pack your running game and your defense to win on the road, according to the great Lane Kiffin. And we have one of those two is surely in place.
Yeah.
And the other part, I'm not so sure.
Kind of super surprising stat. Oregon is the number two rushing defense in the conference.
Yeah.
I mean, that.
Well,
for how young their defense is, that shows that they're doing a really
good
job.
Jim Leavitt is a freaking genius.
Rich Rod loves him,
He went over to Colorado, and look how much better they were with him than without him.
Yeah.
And they still have a bunch of NFL caliber players, right? He goes to Oregon and instantly turns them into a respectable defense. So
I mean, second best rush defense.
That's another great poaching job by the Ducks right there. Getting Jim Leavitt away from Colorado. I mean,
Joe Salvea, they kind of took from Arizona in a way.
Well, they took him from Washington State, right?
Yeah.
So,
but yeah,
they have done a good job of putting together.
That staff is ridiculous.
Their staff and also their roster. I mean, it is a young. They are young in some spots. Even Herbert's only a sophomore.
Yeah, which people forget. People forget. I also think people forget how good he was when he was healthy.
He's great.
First of all, considering he played as a true freshman, which is
crazy. He was good as a true freshman, too. And he looks like an NFL quarterback.
We're seeing how rare it was with Khalil and Braxton Burmeister for that to happen. So usually it's a redshirt freshman who comes in, like Jameis and guys like that.
Do you have any idea how many stars Justin Herbert was?
I'll look it up right now. I have my computer in front of me.
It says something about this 2016 class, right?
Yeah.
Tate, Herbert.
Yeah, true. He was, and from right from their backyard, too. Played with Cody Shear, actually.
Oh, Herbert played with Shear?
Three-star in his only other offers, Montana State, Northern Arizona, and Portland State.
Wow.
So is Montana State even FBS? I don't think so.
I don't think so, no.
That's crazy. And that probably, so was it like a last, he committed, like he committed in October, so he probably committed right when he got an offer from Oregon, but.
It is utterly amazing how much of an inexact science recruiting is. And I don't blame anybody for that Oregon, either. It's really hard.
Oregon lost two guys who transferred, I don't know their names, but they were like four-star guys.
Quarterbacks.
And he beat them out, clearly. So that's kind of, I mean, sometimes a guy just comes in. I mean, Luke Falk was a walk-on at Wazoo. Got beat out by Brandon Dawkins in high school.
When USC had Sam Darnold and Ricky Town, okay, in the same class. And Ricky Town was, he was kind of like the five-star or borderline four or five-star, whereas Sam was a solid four-star, but he wasn't kind of as well-publicized or well-known. A couple weeks into training camp, Ricky Town bailed. Because I think he just knew.
Yeah.
I can't compete with this guy. Like, well, Sam Darnold is.
Well, then Max Brown continued. I mean, he got injured again this year, but which is sad. Max Brown left because of Darnold too.
Right. Well
he lost the job.
He lost the job.
Yeah.
Which is going to create kind of an interesting situation for Arizona in the offseason. Yeah. Maybe we'll save that for another podcast.
That'll be a discussion. But
so what's your prediction for this game, Zach? Who you got?
Man, you know, the more we talk, I've been thinking about it. I know it's tough, but I think Arizona wins this game. I just think, even though Herbert's back, like, he hasn't been playing for a while. So, I think that if he comes out and is his himself, then it's a different thing. It's just so hard to predict because we don't know what kind of Herbert we're going to get. He probably isn't 100%. And it wouldn't surprise me if he's rushing himself back as a competitor. But, yeah, I'm going to say it's a high-scoring one. I'll say 42-35 Arizona win.
I'm glad you're taking Arizona.
Yeah.
Because you usually don't.
I know. Back in the day.
I'm going the other way on this one. I'm taking Oregon. I feel like it's, like we talked about, a very difficult venue. An underrated Oregon defense. A team that's going to be really inspired by the return of its quarterback, we think. And a quarterback who just makes a difference. You know, I worry a little bit about false starts and kind of, you know, the Arizona offense getting behind the chains a little bit. You know, some second and longs, third and longs, those are not, you know, that's not their comfort zone. And I also feel like, motivationally, of course they want to win. Of course they want to prove themselves. Of course they want to beat this team that's got a bunch of these Wildcat, you know, four.
Isn't it weird that Oregon needs this win more than Arizona does, by the way?
I mean, that's part of the motivation, right? And also, in which game of these last two is going to mean more to the Wildcats? Oregon or ASU?
Exactly, yeah.
I feel like it's ASU. So I'm going with Oregon. And I'm going to take the Ducks winning 38-35.
So you got a high scoring one too.
I do.
All right, on that we'll cut to the AskBlatt Twitter mailbag. We're gonna answer some of the last few questions that timeliness wise still work because of technical difficulties. That one didn't air, and Michael's going to help me out with that. But we got our little graphic to play for you.
It's time to AskBlatt.
All right, let's do this. As always, send your questions to #AskBlatt. We'll do another one next week. I'll answer first a couple questions that are still applicable.
What are we going to do after next week? It's the last game of the regular season,
Jack.
Just
our bowl game stuff, I guess, right?
Or projections. Or basketball questions.
Or basketball.
So boring.
Basketball
team. They just blow everybody out.
Yeah, they don't play anybody good. All right. First, at MP Ziccarelli asks, would you prefer gelato, ice cream, or froyo? That's a good question.
This is a good question. I mean, it depends on where you're getting it from.
Yeah, yeah.
I would say, like, generally speaking, gelato.
I would say, if it's quality gelato, like, that's the best one.
Yeah, I went to a really good place when I was in SoCal called Paradis. It's like paradise without the E. There's a couple different locations. There's one in Long Beach. And they make ice cream, and I think it's a Dutch-based company. And, man, so good. They have a strawberry, and strawberries kind of vary, but, like, it tastes like...
Yeah.
Like, you're actually eating strawberries, but you're eating ice cream, which is
there's a great gelato spot in Tucson called Frost. It's really good.
Frost. All right.
Yeah. You ever been?
No, I have not. Well, but like I said, it depends. Yeah. There's a wide variance in qualities.
Ice cream is the most consistent thing you can have in life, I feel like. It's going to be good. Just general ice cream.
Maybe so. Yeah.
That and bacon, I feel like.
Bacon. We eat a lot of turkey bacon at home.
Really?
But that's good too.
Go healthy, huh?
So, healthier.
Yeah. It's all relative, yeah. Bowl game prediction showing... Oh, at @Ali_Juca. Bowl game prediction showing Arizona and San Diego? ?
Yeah.
That seems like... the leader in the clubhouse.
There are a handful of possibilities. Alamo Bowl.
I mean, that'd be appealing for them, too, just beyond Khalil, because it's drivable for Arizona fans. And so is the Alamo Bowl. Or Sun Bowl, isn't it?
The Sun Bowl would be drivable.
Alamo's not drivable. But
Holiday Bowl would be drivable. People would probably prefer to go to San Diego than El Paso, right? But either one of those, I think either one of those two would be sexy.
Yeah.
Destination
for both bowl and team.
You're probably going to get a Big Ten or Big 12
Michigan
type of opponent. Everybody wants Michigan.
You want Northwestern?
I don't really want Northwestern.
Yeah, you don't want to
have that conflict of interest. I want to watch the Northwestern.
Your story is going to be so Northwestern. So the best coach of all time, Pat Fitzgerald, called an amazing play.
I want to sit down and enjoy the Northwestern bowl game, without being distracted by work.
Because they weren't that good when you were there, right?
They were not. No, it was right after I left that they started being good. Actually, in the mid-90s was when they sort of had their first burst onto the
Who's their best, like, NFL player to come from there? I don't even know.
Ever?
Or just, like, in recent years, I guess.
Oh, that's a good question. In the last decade,
like, have they had anybody?
Not really anybody. No, that's kind of what's amazing. Well, what about Trevor Siemian? That might be the best one.
Oh, I didn't realize he went there. Wow.
Yeah, but Pat Fitzgerald, and let's get way off subject. He recruits, like, exclusively 3-star guys. And they win a lot of games without a lot of NFL players.
Yeah, I mean, so people just kind of look up, and they have a great record lately. It's awesome. All right.
So Vegas Bowl is kind of down the pecking order. Probably not going to happen unless Arizona loses these last two games, in which case things get jumbled. And it's not strictly based on the standings. You can move teams around if they're separated by one game within the Pac-12 standings. So the Holiday Bowl could say we would rather have 6-3 Arizona than 7-2 Washington State. But once you get to a certain point, I think it's the number 4 spot on down, it is strictly in the order of the standings. So there's a little bit of – you can't just look at it at the end of the season out there, everybody, and just say, these are the slots, because there is a draft of some sort.
We'll say the one we don't want is the San Francisco Bowl.
The Foster Farm Bowl.
I like San Francisco, but
– I don't know. It just doesn't do it for me.
Doesn't do it. Nope. Isn't it a bad kickoff too?
Most of them are evenings.
Yeah.
Holiday Bowl's in the evening. Vegas and Sun Bowls are afternoons, which is all we care about, right?
You guys should care about what we care about.
But, none of those games will be on the Pac-12 networks, by the way. So good news for everybody out there.
All right. At Justin Esports, normally would be helping us on this podcast. He asked, do you think Arizona did the Khalil Tate Heisman campaign slightly too late? No, I don't think so, because, I mean, there was no way of knowing it was a legit thing until pretty recently.
I would agree with you. I don't think it was too late. I think
you can't do that prematurely. Then you look bad, too. So.
Yeah, no, they created a very nice website. They sent out an email blast. They've been very active on
really
social media.
They're really pushing that Big Cat thing.
They are pushing the Big Cat thing. We are not pushing the Big Cat thing. The nickname is...
And they're doing Heisman Canada and the capitalizing Tate. The reality is none of these guys are going to hold a candle to all the Bryce Love campaigns, because all you need is love. Like, his name is just perfect.
Love is a natural.
Show him some love.
But no, I don't think it was too late. This only happened like 6 weeks ago that he started playing.
Yeah.
So
I mean,
how soon could you do it?
You expect them to do a big push this offseason going into next season, especially for season tickets. It's almost more important for that, honestly, from the U of A's perspective.
Right. I think he's going to win the Heisman before he gets a good nickname, by the way.
Well, I've never seen this where people are so desperate to give a guy a nickname. I've never seen that before.
I like, you know, Special K. I think Special K is not bad.
Greg Hanson.
K-Train.
Greg Hanson's been pushing Cothrill.
Cothrill. Kal-El.
Godfather of Gardena.
Godfather of Gardena. He's a man. He's like, you know, sort of like Babe Ruth. You know, there's a lot of nicknames.
Desert Ghost.
Not that. No, it was really, I felt really bad for Mark Jones.
Oh, people were not happy.
Because he had that long 80, whatever it was, 71-yard touchdown run, and he said Ghost Desert.
Oh, no
at
way.
At the end of it.
Oh,
like, not only did he, like, use that weird, bad nickname.
He used the wrong nickname, and he said it wrong.
I felt bad for him. So.
All right.
Anyway, moving on.
All right. Another Khalil question. At LBZ Be Easy, he said, depending on how Tate does the last two games of the season, if he gets invited to New York, what place do you think he would finish in the voting? Late games and Pac-12 Network exposure to complain if he comes in last. Well, if he's there, he's not in last. He would just not be the winner, probably.
Right.
I mean,
they will invite...
if he's in the top three, that's a monumental... I think Kadeem Carey was the only one on record to have received Heisman votes at Arizona. It's possible that... I don't know if everybody reports their votes or whatever, but, like, if he gets invited, that's remarkable. If he's top five and he's not invited, that's remarkable. Like, the fact that we're talking about having this discussion is insane still.
It is.
But
if I'm not mistaken, no one from Arizona has ever participated in that Heisman ceremony.
No, they haven't.
So that is, in and of itself, is a tremendous honor.
And this is a dude who didn't play four games. Like,
that is true also.
I think it's going to be highly improbable that he wins it like this year. It's just, I mean, I wrote a story a couple weeks ago just about the precedent and all that. Baker Mayfield, even if he had bad games the last 2 weeks, and Bryce Love too, they're just ahead of Khalil. There are teams that have had better seasons, and they've played all year. Bryce missed the one game, but Stanford didn't lose it. Everybody seems to be already convinced he's going to get an invite, and I'm not quite so convinced. The reality is, it's hard enough to get one Pac-12 guy there. If as Michael spills water all over my hotel room. What was I about to say?
Is he going to get invited?
I mean, if Baker Mayfield is clearly the favorite and Bryce Love is clearly behind him, they might only invite two guys. And I've seen Lamar Jackson pull up, and he's a guy that I just think the whole East Coast needs to know who Khalil is, because it's the voting body is the entire country. It's not
Has a lot working against him.
Yeah, that's the thing.
He plays on the West Coast. He's on 6 of his 8 games will be on Pac-12 networks.
Okay? Also, he's a quarterback that doesn't get passing yards, I feel like.
Right.
Someone who doesn't pay attention. Yeah.
Plays on a team that already has 3 losses. And with all due respect, plays for Arizona. I mean, this is not like this is happening at USC or UCLA or even Stanford, which has elevated its profile in recent years. Yeah. So, all that being said, I think he is going to finish in the top 5.
Yeah,
Whether he gets an invite to New York, gets enough votes to merit
that,
remains to be
seen. Unless he has an alarmingly bad game these next 2 weeks, I would say yes.
Which, again, it's possible.
It's possible, yeah. He hasn't proven that. He hasn't really proved it to be possible, actually.
Even his, bad game at USC was pretty good. People were debating that on Twitter for some reason this week. It's like, I think he, other than that interception, he played pretty darn well.
Yeah, I mean, his numbers, he still had 300 total yards, right?
He did?
Yeah. All right.
A lot of people would take a bad game like that. You know?
A lot of people would take Khalil Tate, regardless of that. At CatsFanINQC said, football recruiting this year reminds me of 2014, and most of the spots were locked up, leaving no room for elite recruits after an unexpected good year. Agree.
I'll leave this one to you, Zach. Go ahead.
I mean, I've talked about this with guys who cover recruiting even more than me, and I think that's pretty much on the nose. In 2014, they shouldn't even have won a lot of those games that they won, and then by the end of the year, their recruiting class didn't. For 2015, that might have been the worst recruiting class Richrod had here. The number one guy was Keenan Walker, and he never played a second on the field for Arizona. And I know I'd have to go back to look at who panned out on that. There's a few guys. I think maybe Fenton Connolly was in that class. It's like a few under the radar guys, but yeah,
that's
very
2015.
Yeah,
class?
You can pull that up right now.
Go ahead.
To go off the 2018, you know they. Rich has said they might only bring in 18. He's kind of backed off on that a little bit. I think they have 16 after Jaden Mitchell said he's going to grayshirt. They need defensive linemen. They might need offensive linemen that they're losing Christian Betcher. So it's I still am not convinced they're going to get a 4-star this class, and that kind of answers your question right there. If they had been coming off a 7-win season or a 6-win season last year, it might be different right now, but I don't know if they have the spots and they've taken on a lot of guys that don't really have that many offers, a lot of diamonds in the rough, which is kind of fits the Rich Rod model. But it's not the way you get elite guys. So what do you got? Who's some of the guys?
Okay, well,
Cody Creason.
Cody Creason, who's probably going to start next year or at least be in the top
six. Anthony Foto, no longer on the team. Sean Brown.
They got Sean Brown.
Cedric Peterson.
Paul McGlure as a transfer.
Yeah, so
a productive player for them. Fintan Connolly, whom you mentioned. Dane Cruikshank.
Yeah.
Was in that.
So a lot of like under the radar solid guys.
Jamie Nunley.
Nathan Eldridge, that's a big one.
Nathan Eldridge, that's probably the best one.
Sammy Morrison.
Demetrius Flanagan Fowles.
Yeah. Okay, so I mean, there's like contributing solid players.
Justin Belknap.
Walk on, but yeah.
Brandon Leone, these are guys who subsequently received scholarships. Yeah. So, yeah, as far as the higher profile guys, the four-star guys, that's what's missing from this class here and what's probably going to be missing from this upcoming class.
And they don't really have a centerpiece guy in this class either.
Do they have a centerpiece? They don't.
The highest rated guy is Christian Young, and he's a three-star from Texas. Who, I mean, he had a lot of offers, but he's not, like, if in Texas, I mean, a three-star in Texas might be a four-star in Arizona.
One point that I have made, and I am not an expert on recruiting in any way, shape, or form, but about this upcoming class, is that they don't necessarily need guys to play right away as much as they did this past year's class, right? Theoretically, anyway. So if you've got some guys who are maybe really good athletes, who are maybe a little bit more developmental prospects, you know, maybe it makes, maybe that's a good fit for the way the roster is constructed to bring those guys in. I'm sure the redshirt percentage will be much higher next year than it was this year. It was like, really, I don't know if I've ever seen a team play 17. This many
right,
freshmen
17, I think.
Right off the bat. Yeah. So plus, I think they like some of the guys in this year's class who ended up redshirting. So, you know, Rich Rod said something this week about, you know, anyone will tell you that it's all about, you know, generating competition. You know, and if you can generate competition within your program and have depth, that is going to benefit everybody. And that's something that was lacking in maybe the last couple of years before they replenished the cupboard with this year's class.
Yeah. All right. And then last question, it's one directed more towards me. It's so it's about T.J. McConnell. He said he put Lonzo on the spin cycle. The Lakers-Sixers game, he like spun around Lonzo and had a great layup. He said, this is a fun hypothetical, fill in the blank. T.J. will make _ all-star rosters. Fill in the blank. T.J. McConnell will make all the
all-star
games. Is
that like a number or like a what league?
He will make all the all-star games. He'll probably go there in support of Joel Embiid is what will happen. But the funny
maybe,
thing is...
You know what? Maybe one of the Sixers will participate in the dunk contest.
And he will...
And T.J. will assist.
He'll be a great assister.
Throwing lobs and so forth.
Oh, for sure. Ben Simmons has the athleticism for it, so why not?
He might not want to do it, though, because of the risk of injury.
True.
I hate to tell you, Zach, but some of your
don't talk about injuries.
Some of your
Sixers
are a little, you know, they're at risk.
But the funny thing about McConnell is he was obviously one of the more popular players to ever play in Arizona. The city of Philadelphia would like riot if he got traded. Like they legit just love that guy. I've never seen any for. I mean, he's like fits the scrappy Philadelphia guy kind of mold that they like. But it's amazing. Like
so he's
if anybody speaks ill in him, which happens a lot, because people are like, "What's this YMCA point guard doing?" The Sixers fans just go crazy.
See the Rocky Balboa of point guards, basically?
I like
see
it.
See, like, running the steps with the Rocky
would.
Theme song?
Yeah. He's a man of the people,
wearing the gray
too.
Sweats and the beanie and the... Yes?
Yeah, definitely.
All that.
Okay. All right, we'll end on that note. Thanks for listening. Cover a lot of ground today. As always, subscribe to the podcast on the Apple app, Google Play. Download our Wildcaster app. Read all of our content on Tucson.com. Got a lot of good stuff this week. You got anything to add at the end here, Michael?
No. We'll talk to you again Monday and recap, which should be a very interesting game against Oregon.
All right.
See ya.